Got lots of time for your calls this morning. 1353 53, and on the text line 0419 767 272. Heroes and villains. The winner gets a $100 gift card as well as a case of the Saint and Sinner alcoholic kombucha. Now on the text line here. Morning, gents. My heroes this week: Lozza, Blocker, and the punter's panel for keeping my tab account healthy. Lord knows I can't. And my villain is the Broncos for spoiling Loz's lock. I thought that was a good bet. Loving the show, team. Bunny 65 sending that one through. Heroes, Richmond Tigers for that unbelievable comeback. Villain, my Newcastle Knights will never come back from their slump they are in unless they make serious changes to their roster. Cheers, Toddy from Leeton, sending that one through. Even Andrew Johns, who's on the coaching staff, has indicated in the last couple of weeks that roster needs a serious overhaul.
Yeah, well, you can't continue to do what they've been doing without changing to get a different result, Middo. So there's some big decisions to be made up there, hence the appointment of Peter Parr. Parry has been with the Cowboys for 20-odd years and helped develop that team into a premiership-winning team and also on its way to having some success now. They're hoping that he can do the same thing up there with Newcastle, but there's a lot of things they need to do well. But again, Mido, it's the old adage too. You know, you're never going as good as you think you are, and you're never going as bad as you think you are. You're always floating somewhere in the middle. So I know that, you know, Newcastle supporters are upset with their team's performances this year, and so they should be. But I do think there's a good football side there to work with, and I think they only need a couple of changes and they could get it right and get it right quickly.
Morning, gents. Flew up to Brizzy for my Bucks party over the weekend. Feeling shocking this morning. Saw the majestic performance of the West Tigers. Gee, they didn't like getting sprayed. Threw $50 on the Tigers 13 plus. Hero Adam Dewey. Villains Paddy Carrigan. Lock from DY. Post his Bucks weekend. Good on you for texting in, Lock.
Geez, you've done well to text in.
Should have taken the Monday off. If it's your Bucks weekend, you're having Monday off, aren't you?
Well, you would have thought so.
3-day weekend, surely.
To recover. Oh. I can only imagine the shenanigans.
We've got Simon on the line. G'day, Simon.
Hey, gents, how are we?
Yeah, pretty well, thanks, mate. You got a hero and villain for us?
Well, start with my heroes if I can. I'm a Dragon supporter, but that's another story. But for what they did yesterday, did you see when the players were walking out? And they had their wives or their mothers with them. Did you see? That was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was the best one I saw all week on the weekend for a Women's of League round. So commendable effort by the Dragons. Not on the field, of course. But my villain has to be Nathan Cleary. For someone of his stature in our game, what he did was almost, I wouldn't say unforgivable, but it was disgraceful. It shouldn't have happened. And basically, he shouldn't have had his hand between his legs. And that was what caused the speed tackle, I think.
Yeah, you're right there. He didn't need to put his hands between his legs. And once he did that, he was always going to be in a different or a difficult situation because he lifted. And Dylan Brown, we're lucky that he didn't end up with a serious injury. But I like this from Nathan straight away. He said on his Instagram post, "Massive apologies for tonight. Filthy at myself for such a dumb moment that left the boys and the fans down. I'm not worried about that. It was terrible technique and I need to be better." So he owned it straight away. So he just put his hand up and said, "Listen, I got that horribly wrong." Someone like him will learn from it. It is a bad look and those type of tackles need to be eradicated from the game because someone could seriously injure themselves. And I hate these spear tackles. We don't call them spear tackles, dangerous lifting, but they're something that it doesn't need to happen. You do not need to put people in that position.
Good on you, Simon. Thanks for the call. Just on the text line as well. Hi, boys, heroes, the NRL for celebrating women in league and all the mums, sisters, aunties, volunteers that donate their own time to make our great game what it is. Without them, it wouldn't be the product it is. Villains, the Manly hierarchy for their lack of communication with their employees, especially considering the number of religious players they have. Know your employees. And the players for their lack of compassion and inclusiveness in letting down their teammates who have busted their butts all year. Go the Eels, says Mick from Wollongong. sending that one through. This one as well. Boys, can you please explain how Tom Burgess gets 1 week for a sickening swinging arm on Ronaldo Mulitalo and Big Nelson gets nothing for his indiscretions while Dale Finucane gets 2 weeks for an accidental head clash? The MRC are an absolute farce. Cheers, Chad from Barton Ridge. And when you describe it like that with those incidents, hard to disagree.
Oh, I think we've all sat here this morning, Middo, and had our opinion on what happened over there in Auckland on Friday night. We thought, after what happened the previous week, that both those players should have been at least facing a fine or 1 or 2 weeks on the sideline. But to escape with nothing, I think, leaves us all thinking, what is the difference between what they did and the players from the previous weeks did?
Michael, morning to you.
Yeah, g'day. Just wondering with Cooper Johns, he's still with the Storm, he's injured, and Riley Jack, are they both with the Storm or not?
I know that Riley Jacks isn't with the Storm. Cooper is with the Storm. I'm unsure of whether he's injured or not. But he's someone that's played a bit of first-grade Cooper, and I know they've got a big opinion of him.
Yeah, I think they might put him with a fullback out. They might put Cameron Munster back to fullback and move Jerome Hughes to 5'8". And Cooper Johns at halfback, or even Jerome Hughes to fullback and use Cooper at halfback. That'll be an option for the Storm.
Oh, most definitely. It would be an option.
Yep.
And
last week, apparently my mate watched the game. I didn't watch it.
Yep.
He said to me, didn't even come on the bench, which surprised me.
Yeah, I think they've got Tyron Wishart that plays that utility role for the Melbourne Storm. But it might be something they look at. I know they'd be reluctant to move Munster from 5'8", but they do also get David Nofaluma this weekend, and there's some talk that Xavier Coates might be back as well.
I just haven't seen him for a while.
No, we haven't seen him since the first Origin
game.
That's
right. Mm.
So if they get Coates back, they get Nofaluma into the system, that gives them a little bit more depth, but I'm unsure of what they will do if Meany is out this weekend.
Thank you, Michael. Also on the text line, hi team, joint heroes today. Emma McKeon, best Aussie athlete ever. And Max Verstappen, that win from 10th on the grid, he's a genuine freak. Villain is Jarawarrea Hargreaves. He needed 10 in the bin. That low act is consistent from him, says Joe the Botany Battler. Steve, morning to you.
Hey, boys, how we going?
Pretty good for a Monday, mate. Yourself?
Oh, living the dream in Warwickville. You know how it is.
Nice and cold down there, mate, or what's going on?
Yeah, one.
One? A bit chilly then.
Hey, have you pulled the suit out of mothballs for today, Lauren?
What about this? We were just talking about it out there in the break, Steve. The Darwin Cup is on today, and it brought back great memories for the suit. And it wasn't a cheap suit either.
Was it 600? Wasn't
yeah,
it?
And it didn't fit.
All right, very quick, just before I get the heroes and villains, boys, with this 1st of August thing, you're allowed to change clubs. How many times are you allowed to do it in a season?
Oh, it's just as long as there's a spot there within the 30-man roster. What are you suggesting, that one player might be able to go to three clubs within season?
Yeah, what I'm suggesting, and it's like out there, but if you've got someone coming to the end of their tether, they might be able to go into a pool of mercenaries, for want of a better word. And they could just fill a hole here, fill a hole there, fill a hole there. They're not under contract to any club, but they might just be able to like play 4 weeks at Parramatta because Mitchell Moses is out, or 4 weeks at Penrith because Cleary's out. Before that, they might have been at North Queensland when their RFAC was out.
Yeah.
Just a permanent substitute, for want of a better description.
I haven't really thought of it. I suppose they possibly could do that, but, I mean, you're not going to sign someone just for a two-week, three-week period.
Well, Parramatta want to sign Marty Tapau for 5 weeks, don't they?
Yeah, they do, because they've got finals coming up. Well, you're talking about more at the start of the year where people could...
Just if, like, all of a sudden, if you get an injury and you're not in a position,
yeah,
there might be someone you can just call on round 3 to round 7.
I understand where you come. I don't know whether there's anything against that. I don't think there would be, but you've got to have a spot open.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, yeah. Clubs, you've got 30 players in your squad initially. I mean, generally, it's a situation like the Melbourne Storm where they've got a number of injuries in their outside back, so they were desperate and they needed to go and get someone, so they went and got Nofaluma.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, heroes and villains, boys. Hero has to be young Fulton for the way he stood up to Wirira Hargraves after the game. Like, he'd been roughed up all night by Wirira Hargraves, and at the end of the day, Wirira Hargraves wanted to be, you know, like all kissy-kissy, and Fulton was, no, no, I'm not having part of that. I thought he just stood up well and played well all night.
Yeah, I thought he played well.
What about your villain, Steve?
Mate, the organising committee for the Commonwealth Games, as long as I can remember, and I reckon I go back to about 78, the last event at the Commonwealth Games has always been, well, less one that I can think of, an Australian win in the netball. We've always finished the Commonwealth Games on a high. They've taken it off this year.
It's a
break of tradition.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, when is the final? What?
2 days before.
Oh, okay.
the last thing this year is the hockey.
Are we a chance in the hockey? We'd be a chance in the hockey, won't we?
Yeah, but it's just like tradition, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you always have a beer with breakfast on grand final, don't you?
Yeah.
You always watch the girls win a gold medal, except for last time when they got rolled, as the last event, and then they go with the gold medals around their head and do the closing ceremony.
Well, you can celebrate for 2 days this time then.
And you can celebrate with the hockey team.
Mate, I'll be celebrating getting the morning above one, let me tell you.
Mate, hopefully it'll warm up sooner.
Oh, yeah, we're coming into spring, couple of race meetings, life's good.
Oh, beautiful.
Good on you, Steve. Thanks for the call, mate, as always. We got Todd. G'day, Todd.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, going all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I flew in from Bendigo to Wee Wee on a Saturday, and we had Old Boys Day yesterday. And it was just an amazing day. They honoured my grandfather, Brucey. And, it was just really touching. And, you know, the club president, he gave me a Wee Wee Roosters polo top, like a jumper. So it was really nice of him to do that. And it was just great catching up with all the old boys. Peter Willey was there. The former North Sydney Bears head coach, who knew my pot very well. And there was a photo of Mr. Daly with the big man from Woi Woi Leagues Club a few years ago. I don't know if you remember that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the big man and I were up there and we did a speaking gig up there. Would have been, just testing my memory now, Toddy. This would have been probably, 10 years ago, I suppose?
Yeah, well, I knew that you knew him.
No, I enjoy getting up that way. Did they have a game on the weekend?
Yeah, actually.
Yep. How did they go?
Amazing performance. We played Wyong Roos. Now, Wyong Roos are good enough to be in the NRL. They're that strong. And the boys led all the way 16-14 to the final minute, and then finished 16-all. So a magnificent job by all the whole club yesterday. And I'm sure Pop would have been extremely proud of his Roosters. And, it was just an amazing day. So,
good on you, Toddy. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad they recognised everything that your grandfather has done for the club. And I'm sure that there would have been plenty of stories told about him. And to top it off, while you didn't get the win, it was good that the boys could hold on for a draw. So well done to the Woi Woi Roosters. Have you got a villain?
To the Fremantle Dockers, because Friday night, man, that's just not how you play footy. I know they played the Demons, but playing in front of the packed crowd over there in Perth, I thought they might have done better. So I'll give them my villain this week.
Okay, good on you, Todd. Really appreciate the call as always, mate. Keep them coming. 1353 53. Running a trade business isn't all sunshine and rainbows. It's full of spreadsheets and paperwork. Boring. That's why you should use Fergus Job Management Software, the smarter way for tradies to make every job successful. Let Fergus make your life easier. Save hundreds of hours on admin, get paid faster, and make every job profitable. so you can focus on all the things you started a business for. Fergus, tradie swear by it. For more information, go to fergus.com. More texts here. G'day, boys. Hero, the $400 in my tab account from the punter's panel multi. Villain, Niso. My flog of an apprentice for not doing what he was asked before he left for the National Oztag Championships. I know you're listening, Niso. And that's Kieran from Canberra who sent that one in. So, you know, the boss not happy with his apprentice.
Niso.
He's had to take off for the National Oztag Championships.
We'll have to follow that. We'll have to see how they go, Mido. The National Oztag Championship. I'm assuming Niso plays for Canberra. Am I right to assume that?
Well, yeah.
If Kieran's from Canberra?
Well, I think you're making a pretty good assumption there.
Would I make a police officer? Would I make a police officer with that investigation?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Detective Loz.
Detective Daly.
But are we qualified to be mediators in this sort of dispute that's going on between Kieran and Niso?
Well, by the sounds of that text message, I would say they get on extremely well. And I reckon it's not the only time he's been called a flog, Niso. By his boss. How many times from when he first started to the end of his apprenticeship will he be called something derogatory?
Oh, I don't think compliments would be common.
But that's what you get with a good relationship, man. It's a bit like me and you behind your back. What I say to you face to face and then what I say to you behind your back is two completely different things.
But I wouldn't expect it any other way.
As I said to you, I'll be as honest as I can be. But you know, when you're not there, I'm laying the slipper in.
Different story.
Yeah. I say that to everyone. When you're not there, you'll cop it. I love a good bagging.
Like I said, it's weird.
Refreshing.
It'd be weird if you gave me a compliment. Yeah.
It's therapy.
I wouldn't know what to do.
It's therapy.
We got Lachlan on the line. G'day, Lachlan.
Morning, Mino. Morning, Loz. Hope you're well this morning.
We are, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Just sitting in traffic in the M7, living the dream.
Oh, geez. How long does it take you to get to work?
About an hour and 15.
Hour and 15? Where do you have to go? Where from?
St. Mary's. Menai to St. Mary's.
Oh, geez. That is a big trip, mate.
It's all right. Listen, you boys make it worthwhile, eh?
Good man.
What have you got for us this morning, Locke?
Yeah, look, Heroes, boys, it has to be the Manly team on Thursday night, decimated with players out because of the scandal, each to their own. You know, a lot of players on debut, but I think all of us thought Roosters were going to put 60, 50 points on them, and the margin was 10. Phenomenal performance, and, you know, some of the young guys getting a run, and I think it was small. Alfred on the wing scored the try right at the end, and Manly were celebrating as if they won.
Yeah, no, it was good to see young Smalley there score that try. And Manly tried their heart out, but unfortunately they just couldn't overcome the loss of those seven players. But we'll see how they go this week when they take on Parramatta.
Yeah, be a great performance. And look, Villain, this has been a couple of weeks, a reoccurring Villain, and it's a disastrous spiral, but it's all the additional cameras. Obviously, rugby league is an entertainment sport and we get some fantastic camera angles on certain things. But I ran into a bunch of people the other day watching a game, and I think it was Penrith scored a beautiful try. I think it was ALB defender had engaged in the lead runner, and they go, oh, that's not a try. You know, he's bowled him over of obstruction. And just how some of the younger generation are coming up now and, you know, oh, that's no try. That's no try. Mm. You know, so it's, you know, we're lucky to have all that. I know there were the issues with the bunker and we're always going to have that. But, yeah, the Villain would have to be, you know, the media. We get all those extra views and whatnot. You know, putting into consideration all the slack that these young fellas get. You know, a couple of weeks ago, it was Jacob Arthur, Kyle Flanagan. You know, never ends. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, so you're looking at the negatives that the extra technology have imparted on the game. Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Celtic have started their Scottish Premier League title defence with a 2-0 win over Aberdeen overnight. So good start for Ange Postecoglou and his side. And Cristiano Ronaldo, and his future at the club's clouded, but he returned for Manchester United in a 1-1 draw in their final pre-season friendly against Rayo Vallecano at Old Trafford. England are celebrating. They've beaten Germany 2-1 in the Women's Euro final at Wembley. They scored in extra time to put them ahead and held on. And that is the first major trophy at senior level for England since the 1966 World Cup for the men, of course, when they beat West Germany at Wembley as well. So big celebrations there, and good celebrations for Australia as well over at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, because gold medals this morning in the women's sevens in the rugby. They've beaten Fiji in the final there, 22-7, and in the 4x200-metre freestyle relay, a world record for the Aussie girls, Ariane Titmus and company. Just too good. And we're well and truly on top of the medal tally on day two as it stands. Double the amount of gold medals, in fact, than what England has, who are in second place at the moment. So the Australian team, 22 gold, 13 silver, 17 bronze, 52 medals at this point in England. 34 medals with 11 gold. Then New Zealand, 10 gold. And then you're going down to South Africa, 4 gold. And, well, we're pretty much tallying them all up there, Loz, in the Comm game so far.
Oh, very impressive at the moment, Middo. But I think we expected to be winning gold medals. Well done to Emma McKeon, who won the women's 50-metre freestyle. That's her 11th Comm Games medal. And that's the most by any athlete in the Comm Games history. So she's just a star.
She is. Darwin Cup today as well. Jumps at 6:15 tonight. Bring back some memories
for
you, Loz.
Bring back some memories. About 4 years ago, Middo, we went up there at an outstanding time. Geez, they do it well. They do it so well. And the weather. The weather helps when you're leaving the winter of Sydney to go up there to Darwin and experience what they're going through, the winter up there, I should say. It's perfect. 23, 24 degrees.
Oh. We've got a brutal August ahead.
I heard somewhere the other day, it was on the telly or the radio, I can't remember, but they said for the next 3 months, we are in for more rain. The rain is back.
You're kidding.
No.
I want to know your source.
That was, I heard it on the news. So it was either watching the news or listening to the news on the radio.
But El Nino's finished, I thought.
Oh, there's something else happening. Oh, there's something bubbling away.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
The Broncos lost 32-18 to the Tigers Saturday night. Pat Carrigan sent straight to the judiciary for that hip drop tackle, which has ended Jackson Hastings' season. How long do you reckon they'll give Pat Carrigan? Well, it's never good when he gets sent straight there.
No, getting sent straight there, that means that he's going to at least get
a month,
possibly more. I think he'll get 4 or 5 weeks. Paddy Carrigan.
Won't see him till the finals like Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be a stretch on the sideline. And they'll take into account that Hastings won't play again this year. I know that people don't like seeing the injury taken into account, but I think they will. So Carrigan possibly could get 5-6 weeks.
13-53-53 is the number. Rod, morning to you, mate.
Oh, you there, Rod? Hello?
G'day, Rod. No, Rod. We'll go for Jeff. G'day, Jeff. How are you?
I'm glad you find that amusing.
What's happening?
Paul Blake, I've had a miserable week.
Oh, what happened to your mob yesterday?
Oh, no. And Carlton on Friday, that Saturday night. Just miserable, Moz. Honestly.
Dear.
What do we do? You know what? I'm actually glad, in a way, they lost. They put me out of my misery. Because there's no chance of making the 8 now.
No, you wouldn't think so based on, you know, what they did yesterday. Like, I thought first half yesterday they were okay, the Dragons.
Oh, look, they were down by 8. And then, I mean, I'm not going to bag Benny Hunt because he's been outstanding this year. But I think it was on the second tackle they were attacking.
Is that the one where he flicked it?
Yeah, that's it. But anyway, look, congratulations, Loz, on your multi.
Well done, Loss.
Oh, look, no, there's something coming here. There's something coming, Jeff. You're not going to get me in this easy. What do you got for me? You're going to hammer me about something?
No, absolutely not, Snorky. I told you, I'm going to be nice that Clarky's gone.
Oh, rightio, mate, beautiful. Beautiful.
Mate, my hero, and I think you know, I think you've worked with Poxy, haven't you?
With who, sorry?
With Michael Potter.
Yes, I have.
Mate, let me tell you, he has shown, and obviously it's a bit easier when you're not, when there's less pressure, right?
Yep.
But I think he's shown that this bloke can coach. There's no question. And, you know, he's allowed them to play some free-flowing footy, right, without the shackles.
They're playing some really good football. And they're offloading the ball. They're not as structured as they were. I have worked with Potts before. I think he's got a great understanding of the game. Different character to Trent, and obviously a different style of coach, but he's getting the results, and Burton and Addo Carr are just flourishing at the moment. And I reckon, you know, if Seraldo goes there or doesn't go there, I think if you're a Bulldogs fan, you're quite optimistic about what's in front of you in the next couple of years.
And now this comes back to my villain, right? Have we seen a season where there are so many coaches that are under pressure? When are the players going to start taking some responsibility? When? I mean, go through the coaches that have been sacked. Go through the coaches that are under pressure.
Mm.
When are the players going to start taking some responsibility? Because if a coach, if you're not playing for your coach, you can forget it. If you forget it, they aren't going to do anything. So when do they start taking some responsibility for everything?
Well, that's the thing. It's so easy at the moment to blame the coach, and it's easy for clubs to get rid of the coach because they don't have to get rid of a lot of the players. And once the players have a set against the coach, they can easily, you know, stop performing, not playing for him. But for me, that's a bit of a cop-out too. You've got to go out there, and it's your own personal performance that you're going out there to test yourself against. You know, because some days you mightn't be in a good frame of mind, but you're getting paid to play rugby league, and you should be thinking about the fact that you're representing more than yourself. You're representing your club. You're representing the supporters of that club. And you have an obligation to perform the best you possibly can, regardless of whether you like the coach or not. So it is a cop-out for me. I think that players need to be more accountable and need to be more aware of regardless of what's going on, you're there to represent this club in the best possible fashion. We're paying you the money to get you in the right frame of mind, and you have to take some personal responsibility along the way. Sometimes it's too easy for players to have that cop-out.
Good on you, Jeff. Just on the text line as well, another hero's the Botany Rams, under sixes and eights, winning their rugby league grand finals at Redfern yesterday. And for the Bunnies team, for being there till the last game, says Joe the Botany Battler. So well done to the Souths. Well, I'm guessing that's the NRL side, of course, going to the Botany Rams, or the local junior rugby league grand final day there in Redfern yesterday. Great stuff. Hero, the young Dragons player who walked his grandmother on the field and would not leave her till one of the other ladies was there to look after her. Villain Hargreaves. No name to that one, but it's been mentioned earlier this morning. A great little initiative for women in league round that the Dragons did yesterday, with the players taking out, whether it was a mother, a grandmother, a sister, someone in their life that they wanted to honour as part of women in league round. It was a great little initiative there from the club there yesterday. And then they unfortunately went on to lose that game 34-8 to the North Queensland Cowboys. We've got Mark on the line. G'day, Mark.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
No, we're pretty good, thanks, mate. You got a hero and villain?
Yeah, mate. Heroes. The para team at the Commonwealth Games, punching well above their weight, gold medals, a world record. They're doing really well. And it's good to see them competing with the able-bodied competitors.
Is this something? This is the first time it's happened, isn't it? To my knowledge, it is.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it before. It's always happened after.
Yeah, so they're
the
mixing. Com
game. So they're mixing. Yeah, I think it's okay. Great.
Yep. What about your villain, Mark?
And the villain,
The villain is the big kerfuffle over a jersey that actually spoilt the women's round. If they had done it a week earlier or a week later, who cares? But it sort of put a bit of a downer on the women in leagues weekend.
Certainly did for a couple of days there, no doubt about that. I still think the NRL did a pretty good job in, you know, honouring women in league over the weekend, but there's no doubt it lost some steam there for a couple of days.
Oh, it did lose a lot of steam, you know, because it was front and back page story in every newspaper and every TV channel. The story about the rainbow coloured jersey and what Manly players were doing. So it did overshadow what was meant to be Women in Rounds League, but I think we still celebrated it well.
Yep.
And we need to continue to celebrate it well because they contribute so much to the game in all areas. You know, whether it's playing, whether it's admin, whether it's just, you know, getting children to games, whatever the case may be, without women, we don't have a game.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Morning, Rod.
Boys, before I get me here, I'm villain, just on the games on the weekend. You look at the South Cronulla game, that was way slower than the Penrith Cronulla game. Penrith were a lot slower as well. I've got no doubt that game the week before took a bit out of him. What we tend to forget is clubs like Penrith and Cronulla, and maybe not North Queensland because they're already fit enough, they're starting to hit their heavy training schedule before the semi, so they're going to be a bit flat. Now, my hero, I think he's been pretty much the buy of the year. I had my doubts when we signed him, but Nicho Hynes, high school, come off the man, come off the moment. My villain, you're saying 5 weeks of that Corrigan tackle, Laurie? That's a terrible tackle. It's broke his leg. He put his body in a position where he didn't have to put it in, and he pulled him down. He needs 8 weeks to outlaw this terrible tackle. Seriously, Laurie.
Yeah, I don't know about 8 weeks, but I think, you know, for me, that 5 week penalty is a fair stint on the sideline. The other thing about the Carrigan tackle, and I don't know what other Brisbane player was involved in the tackle, but because Carrigan slipped down and went in and did the hip drop, there was contributing a factor because the player over the top bent him backwards as well. Hmm. So
just
he's
all
got,
went wrong.
Yeah, it did go wrong, but he's got his weight on the leg and the other guy coming down over the top of his body and just putting himself in a situation. If he falls on his chest, the bloke carrying the football, not much is happening to Jackson Hastings. But I think the fact that the other bloke lays him in an awkward position and bends his body, it adds to the weight that Carrigan and the angle that he's in, it contributes to the outcome of that tackle. Hmm. I think it does.
No, I think you're right. I'd argue the one that happened to Tino was worse.
Well, he came in with a lot more aggressive, like an aggressive nature. I think it was Booth.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
To Tarpany.
Yeah, sorry, to Tarpany, didn't I? Sorry,
yeah,
Tarpany.
Tarpany. So I think it was Aaron Booth came in, and they would argue that he came in and hit him above the knee. But I think you can come in as a third man, but, you know, if you come in with intent and it goes wrong, it can horribly go wrong. Mm. You can do some serious damage. So I don't know how you, look at it and say you can't go in at the legs. I think it's the way you go in at the legs. And even then, if you say, if you've got two men in the tackle, one has to drop to the legs, well, that's fine. You can drop down to the legs and you may not have any force there.
Might expose the ball.
But, well, the bloke might expose the ball, but that allows someone else in to join the tackle.
Yeah.
But they join it as a two-man, like as a three-man tackle again. So you've got a two-man tackle, one drops to the legs, so you've got one bloke up the top. Mm. That just allows someone else then to come in. So you still get a three-man tackle and you've still got someone around the legs. You can push his body backwards and you put him in a vulnerable situation as well.
Yeah, it's hard to find a solution to police it, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Mm. So I don't know what we do other than saying if you go in with intent, you can slip down or come in and try and take that leg off the ground. But for every action that's made, you'll get a reaction. So I don't know how we look at that tackle and say, well, you can't have, unless you just completely outlaw someone going in at the legs.
Can't do that, though, can you?
Well, what happens if he's continually moving?
By the way, I think did one our listener on Friday come up to you at the lunch that you went to, Lots? Someone said that they were going to, that you were going to be at the lunch. They were
Thursday.
Yeah, it was.
Yep, Brad.
Brad from Campbelltown. Yep, he's texted in. Great to meet you the other day. Did you get a photo, etc.? So there you go.
Good on you, Brad. He's a mad Sharkies man.
Well, he'd be pretty happy about the situation. They're going to finish top four.
Oh, have you seen their run home? I just had a look at the Sharks run home. Don't worry about top four. They'll finish
potentially second.
Second. I think they will finish second. This is their run home. They got the Dragons, Tigers, Manly, Dogs, Newcastle. They could win all five of those.
They could.
And if they do that, I think they'll finish second.
Love that top four bet I had, by the way, just quietly.
I know.
Can I get in the queue?
I wouldn't go the early crow just yet.
Okay. I can stop them, don't worry.
Well, I don't want to give the early crow because I don't want you to blame me. But I'm telling you, that run home is as good as anyone.
Yeah.
You'd want that run home.
Yeah. You should be just locking in top four if you're a Sharks fan. Go and buy the ticket for the home final, hopefully, for if you finish second. Now, we've got to give a winner out for Heroes and Villains. Going to give it to Paul, who called earlier and had the Tigers, who have been the villain pretty much all year. And they were the hero this morning after that win against Brisbane in Brisbane on Saturday night. And his villain was, that Nelson Asofa-Solomona slam via the elbow on Wade Egan on Friday night. So, we didn't like that one. So well done, Paul. Dave Stanley, morning, mate.
Morning, Middo. Morning, Loz. How are we, boys?
Going well, mate. Yourself? Have you caught up with Dicko? Have you seen him?
Oh, he'd be filthy. He'd be in the horrors, wouldn't he?
Ooh, what do you
after
watch?
The punters panel multi-lobbed on Saturday Arvo. Plenty of texts rolling through, so that was good. He was on a bit of a roll there. I don't know if this is the same for you, boys, when you do your Friday multis, but when there's a few that go into the bag, so to speak, and he doesn't have to pay out, he gets a bit overzealous with the price and starts sort of going, oh, well, you know, I'll offer you X amount. And then as soon as you get a few wins on the board, you watch him just tighten up now.
Well, we've won two in a row, and Blocker actually had a footy one as well on the weekend that got up, and yours won as well. So he would be in the fetal position.
He'd be crook. So let's just keep ripping it out. That's the main thing, because we need to build a bank for spring. I say spring, but we need to build a bank for tomorrow. That's how good we're going.
100%.
How was your weekend, Middo? How was your weekend, Loz?
What a great weekend, Dave.
Good weekend. I saw you at Shady Pines.
Never been there before. What a joint.
Great.
So
that's like a country saloon place,
yes,
sort of, isn't
it? Yes,
it
is. Yeah. Do yourself a favour, Dave. Get there.
Yeah. Now, I know that I've been there before, and it does go very good, but I know that they play a lot of tunes. Now, did you get up singing or anything?
No, I didn't. Did a bit of toe tapping while I was sitting.
How good. How close.
Move the shoulders.
Yeah, you were under double wraps. If you had been let go at the 400, you just would have got up and just stole the show.
Oh, yeah, but Michelle 100%. Was with me, you know. We had a couple of other people, so
got to contain yourself. What about your weekend, Middo? What did you get up to?
Yeah, good. I had a good Friday.
No weddings this week?
No. I went from a wedding to a mate's daughter's second birthday party.
Oh,
there you go,
fantastic.
To bowling club Saturday.
And it was noted on Saturday that he missed Ladies' Day at North Rugby. Apparently word got round that you were turning up and you didn't front.
Who did I have come up to me the other day and go, mate, do you go to all this? No.
That's what happens. The two-year-old birthday party, so what is
it? It's any excuse for the parents, obviously.
Fairy bread?
Well, there was a bloke.
Fairy bread?
You know, I don't know. They had entertainment for the kids, but we all just stood on the green and had a schooner.
One thing I've learned about kids, boys, is when I went to Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, stayed with some mates, and they had little girls. And I didn't realise, literally, you say something to them, and they don't forget. So apparently on the Saturday, and I don't remember this, I'm having a few beers and whatnot, and saying, nah, tomorrow there's a big party happening and everything. Well, dead set, they were up at 6 o'clock banging on doors going, right, where's the party? What's going on? And when you're in the horrors the next day, you had to produce. So I'm glad you got to experience that, Middo.
Yeah.
All ahead of you, mate.
Delightful. Yeah, no, thank you.
All ahead of you. We've got Punters Postmortem coming up today. We've got Chris Roots. We've got also joining us Glenn Munsey and Mitch Cohen on the program as well. So really looking forward to it. By the way, boys, I know you just speak then of Shady Pines. There's a place, Frank Max in the Rocks, goes very good. Just a bit of a tip out there.
Is it Frank Max?
Live
Frank
music?
Max? No, just a cocktail bar. Just really nice in the Rocks. Goes very, very good.
There
strong
go,
suggestion.
The Loz is on google.com right now, so he's all over it.
There you go. Fantastic. A lot of foreigners. Actually, I've got to ask this question to you boys just before I let you go. I know we're running over time here. But when you're in and amongst foreigners and you're at a bar, do you find yourself doing other voices? Like starting to not mimic them, but no? Yes?
No, where's this going?
No, it doesn't matter.
What do you mean mimic?
No, not, well, you know, if you're, say, around a lot of Irish people, right, do you find yourself starting to sort of get a bit, you start to lose
to be sure, plan. To be sure.
Do you do that at
no,
all?
No, I don't.
Okay, right, I'm obviously an idiot then. I was talking Irish and everything. Have a good Monday, boys. I'll see you then tomorrow, Tuesday. You blokes are going, what on earth is this? He's lost the plot.